Go for it.
I have your mind. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
You're very welcome. We are the upcoming generation. We are the ones who are going to save the planet and who are going to make change. Start now. Start teaching each other and supporting each other. And just continue along the road of saving our planet, because that is the only option.
This is Peggy Merkur.
Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
So, Daniel, how was your day and how did it start?
Today is another crazy day here at onboard Vega, which is part of Sail Cargo Inc. now, and we are preparing Vega to cross the ocean. So there is a lot to do.
So where are we right now?
We are on board Vega. Her full name is Vega Gamleby, and we are in Harlingen in the Netherlands.
How does it come that you're in the Netherlands and not in Costa Rica right now?
It's kind of a long story, so I'll try to keep it short. But Sail Cargo Inc. decided that they were ready to purchase a new vessel and start trading sooner. So myself and a number of our crew joined Vega Gamleby in Västervik, Sweden, and brought the ship around with the intention of sailing across the ocean. When we got here to Harlingen, we made a big discovery. All the masts had rot and needed to be replaced, which was a massive task.
I'm talking now to Jan van Dam. What made you sell the Vega? And what will your role be about for the future?
I'm owner of 8 coasters. We have one coaster with a sailing system. And that's the way I met Daniela in Copenhagen. And that's how I get connected to Sail Cargo.
What do you think about the project?
Yeah, it's a nice project. We all know that we have to do something on the CO2 output. We also, like a general cargo owner, we also know what we have to do in the future.
What do we have to do?
We have to reduce the CO2. The total, let's say, CO2 output, you see, if you have a diesel ship and we can reduce that by, for example, like we have extra sails on board, and like Vega is absolutely like zero emission. And that's also our target for the future.
I've heard you are involved in other projects about emission-free shipping.
Yeah, we are busy now with Tata Steel. And we all know that steel manufacturer is quite a dirty industry. Tata Steel has asked me to design general cargo ship, what sail completes emission-free. And that is where we are busy now with. And that ship will run on complete on hydrogen.
Where is this ship right now and how far is the progress?
No, it's still development.
Yes.
I hope they will sign a contract within 1 year. But that's all depending on, let's say, Tata Steel, because they are the end user. It's all a matter of money.
Can we pay our future? What do you think?
If we want to go greener, that has a price. And this means we all have to pay this together like a consumer.
What do you think? What will be more expensive?
There is no choice.
No choice? Why?
No, there is no choice because we have to do something.
What can we do?
No, I mean the total chain of industry will pay more for a dirty industry than when they reduce the complete CO2 in the chain. That means there will be no choice.
So, better act now than later, otherwise we will have a price we maybe not be able to pay.
That's possible.
And personal in life, what is sustainable in your living ways?
If you look to this ship, we using the sun, we using the wind, and then I can run the ship complete without any energy from outside.
Awesome. But there's still an engine running on the Vega, is it?
No, let's say on the Vega, yes, but that's when there is no wind or in case of emergency.
Thank you so much. Do you have an advice for the listeners or a personal motivation which keeps you going?
We can all look into what we can do by ourselves. Everyone can do something. I still hear plenty of people, they want to go 2 times per year on holiday. Why? I mean, that's a choice.
They think they can relax.
I understand. But then maybe there is another way to relax.
Today is the 2nd of November and I'm talking now to a person which is related to the social media work. May you introduce yourself and tell us in which state the Vega is right now?
My name is Hannah Southcott. I have a master's in journalism and come from a journalistic background. For this, I was working at the National Broadcaster in Australia. I joined the project to help document the delivery of Vega across the Atlantic, but I've stayed a little longer than was expected because of the refit and the mast challenge, having to redo all of Vega's mast, lower mast, bowsprit, and the courseyard.
A ship means always you have to expect something unexpected. So that happened to Vega as well, because the masts were not planned to be rebuilt or replaced in the end.
No, we were supposed to be here for a couple of days for some routine maintenance, and that was at the start of June, and it's now the start of November. So quite a big blip in the plans, really. Boats are very sort of exciting places to be. They're also very challenging. It's like a house, but so much more complex, and anything can go a little bit haywire at any time. So you have to know a little bit about everything, you know, from the grey water pumps to where you get your shore water to shore electricity and like not overriding the system and things, you know, making strange noises in the night. Like you really learn to listen to the sounds around you. And I guess also look out for your crew, because you're living in very close quarters. So you know when someone's having an off day, you can see that and you give them a little bit more support. So I've learned that, and I've also learned that I can do a lot of different things that I hadn't really thought so much about. And this whole project is so ambitious. It's a sort of, a dream coming into reality. And it's great to be part of that, because depressing things about the modern world. There's so much pollution, there's so much greed, there's so much inequality of wealth. But this idea that, you know, there is a solution to some of these really huge problems, even if it's just making a small step, you know, it's just starting, it gives you hope. And I think a life without hope, there's no point. And that little bit of hope, really, it can drive so much movement and really give you a reason and a purpose.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So keep on going. Do you have a little advice for our listeners?
You always find the energy to really make things happen. And I think this whole project is proof of that.
Hi, Russell. Nice to see you back again. The last time we have seen was Costa Rica. Now it is in the Netherlands.
On a canal. We're preparing the ship for final inspection, so that we can have all the paperwork to set sail for the delivery to Colombia to begin the cargo trade between Colombia and America, United States, and potentially Canada as well. Right now, we're looking forward to aiming for England. We've worked on the ship for fashioning the new spars. We have three lower masts, so our mizzen, our main, and our foremast have been created from new out of single timbers, as well as our bowsprit and our course yard. So the largest timbers on board are all new now. And now we're putting the rig back up rig, putting all the stays on and preparing sails, as well as preparing below decks. We've done a small renovation or refit. So we've removed all the cabins, the galley, as well as a saloon area to allow the size of the cargo holds to show the true selves again. So we have two large cargo holds now in preparation for shipping coffee and other products as well, but coffee right now is the main. Yeah, well, the whole purpose of this is to support life. Yeah, for me, it's to support life, support diversity. And Pura Vida, the words say that, pure life. And to me, that's living things. So it's wonderful that we're also on a wooden ship, because as you know, these would have grown out of the forest, which is a pretty incredible thing to be able to fashion. Yeah, a little bit of human ingenuity and mostly Mother Nature, and here we have this amazing machine, sailing machine.
What kind of material do you use?
Vega is made of wood, so we use wood for most everything that we need to build structurally. And then she's also made of copper for lots of fasteners, and below the waterline, there's a copper hull on the ship. And so we do have some copper for fastenings, or for basically we're protecting from bugs and from growth, sea growth on the wood. There's also been iron fasteners used in the rebuild, because it was easier to access them. We have used some lead paints for certain surfaces where we're putting joints together, say underneath the masts, where there won't be any access for a long time, for 5 years, I guess, really. We have to probably pull the masts out every 5 or 15 years, but 15 years is quite a long time. So we did put a little bit of lead paint. The masts have been painted in linseed oil, and then I think it's a synthetic oil that they were coated with for a varnish, but we also have bio impressions and regular two Tonki Noir products, and those are oil treatments that that we have on board that we can use for varnishing. So we have a lot of the natural oils. We also have linseed oil and linseed oil paint and turpentine derived from trees and pitch or tar that is derived from trees. There's a lot of natural products that are tree derived for doing the caulking of the seams or for tarring the rigging or for painting or varnishing. Most all of the exterior surfaces we will be using natural oil-based products. Those are linseed and tung oil.
And now I've met the crew and we want to see how far they are, what their background is about, and discover on the 13th of May, on a sunny day in the harbor area, what their life is about, was about.
Hi, my name is Barbara. I'm from Switzerland. I've been sailing since about 10 years. I'm an officer on board now, at the moment second mate.
My name is Tori. I'm 23 years old. I'm currently a deckhand on Vega. And yeah, I'm originally from Canada. My Instagram handle is TullShipTori, if you want to follow me. Shameless plug. I have no shame.
Hi, my name is Nitya. I'm also from Switzerland. I've been sailing now for a bit over a year. Before I was an architect and environment consultant. So it's a big change of life. And I came to the Vega today because I feel very inspired by the whole sailing cargo industry.
Barbara, how does it come that you're at the Vega?
Last year I met the Vega in Kiel. On the pier, I just came in another ship and there were two friends of mine who I thought they're on the other end of the world, but they were there with Vega. So we had some drinks and dinner together and talked, and I got to talk to Danielle. And she said, why don't you come sail with us? I was like, yeah, maybe later. So I came to Harlingen and I stayed there for 2 months.
Thank you, Barbara. Tori, how does it come?
Well, originally I was working in the hospital as a nurse's aide. It was still the pandemic and it was still really rough and everybody was really short-staffed, and I got into this really depressing rut where I would just wake up and I'd go to work and I'd go home and that was my cycle, and I didn't really feel like I was contributing to my life and feeling very purposeful with my life, and I just thought like there has to be something different. Like I might be fulfilling like my friends and my family's dreams by being like the sister or the daughter that's a nurse and they're so proud of that, but I wasn't like fulfilling my dreams and being proud of myself. So I quit nursing school, I quit my job, I got a job in the office at St. Lawrence too as an office administrator, and then around wintertime I went down to Pride of Baltimore too and I helped them out with their like last Tall Ship Festival in Sultana, or the Sultana Downrigging Festival, and that was a really awesome experience. All the crew was really awesome and it really made me realize that tall ships were for me and sailing was for me. So the original CEO, Danielle, of Sail Cargo started on St. Lawrence too. That's kind of how I got into it. And she was looking for a rigging apprentice for the ocean crossing. And she sent me an email and basically gave me this opportunity, which I never thought I would ever get. And I kind of just sat there and I was like I thought I was nobody. Like I have all these super accomplished friends that have their mate's tickets and their captain's tickets. And they're like, you know, 25 years old and so accomplished. And they started when they were 13 years old on these kid summer camp tall ships, and everybody was so far ahead of me. So when I got this email from Danielle saying, we'd like you to come on board, it's a paid professional position, I was like, yes, this is like my thing. And the dates got pushed back and I kept holding on to it. So I took that, and I've basically been in the Netherlands since the beginning of March, and it's been huge. Like, it's been a huge difference. I've never been to Europe before, so this is a big cultural change for me.
We are all here in the middle of Harlingen, and we have an inspiration, De Vega. What inspires you about De Vega, and what means sustainability for you?
My inspiration for the Vega is actually everything that comes behind the sailing cargo projects that are growing more and more right now. And it's the message that it brings for anyone who then receives or buys some product that have been transported by sails. Yeah, you just suddenly realize, oh, okay, so maybe, yeah, my product was sent from all over, like all over the world or across the Atlantic. It has traveled so many miles, but it did it by sail. And then you also realize that maybe it's nice to receive something like that, take it preciously, not needing it so much, like encouraging people to consume less, but to consume products that have a history background, that have a positive impact on the whole planet. And also I admire the project of sailing cargo in general because of impact they try to have from the start of the chain to the end of it, and so it doesn't get lost in between, and also the producer are involved a lot in this and get a lot from it.
Barbara, what about you?
For one thing, I've been working a lot up north in the Arctic in the last years, and I really like that, but it's also, it feels more and more wrong. And at some point you tell yourself, well, the one impact I can have there, I can directly talk to the people who see this and influence their thoughts about it and what's going on there. And this has really changed in the years I've been there, and it will keep changing, as we know.
What have you been doing there?
I've been working on tall ships. What else? I've been sailing expeditions from Iceland to Greenland, and expedition sailing in Svalbard, and day sails in Iceland, where I actually met Nadia a few years back, the second time. But I felt like, yeah, I don't want to fly up there all the time. But even if I stay, the people fly up there all the time. Everybody still wants to see it. Everybody tells all their friends, oh, it's the last time you can see it. You have to go. I've been thinking I want to do something more sustainable for a long time. But I also thought I already have two professions. If I now start another one, that's also not very sustainable. And apart from the other side is I also come a little bit from wooden boats, not only big steel boats, and I've always seen these big wooden boats that you never get to sail on, and now finally there is one I do get to sail on, and I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, but also use the skills I already have for a project that has a much better mission and values than just showing tourism around.
That's what I am doing right now.
This can also be sustainable if you do it more locally and if people don't fly everywhere.
So, Tori, what do you celebrate about life right now, and why was it a cultural shock, kind of?
The parts of life that I've really been celebrating ever since arriving to Europe is just like how slow everybody takes things. I don't get me wrong, like tall ship sailors, they work hard, we work long hours, but there's also a lot of time to rest and reconnect with yourself, where I find that doesn't really happen in North America. There's a lot of like hustle culture, and it becomes very toxic, and you kind of lose who you are to the corporate world, which is one of the reasons why I did want to join Sail Cargo and Vega specifically, because I'm kind of like sticking it to the big corporate people. So, but yeah. I forget the question. What was the question?
What was the cultural shock, and what do you also enjoy at the Vega? You can connect it to that, and what do you appreciate about that? You were getting already into it a bit.
Yeah, cultural shocks. It was, yeah, definitely the food. People eat very differently here compared to Canada and, well, North America in general. And I find that traditional meals are very different here as well, depending on your nationality. The music, the like activity levels, like everybody goes for walks here, which is not a thing in Canada, at least where I'm from, especially because it's so cold, like 8 months out of the year, people choose to drive everywhere. And yeah, people would say, oh, I drove so far. I drove all the way to Amsterdam. It was an hour and a half to get there. Whereas like I could drive 9 hours and be in the same province in Canada. So like an hour and a half is like no big deal. People commute an hour and a half for work every single day in Canada. So that was a huge difference as well.
About the food, what did you discover at the Vega?
I am very used to eating a lot of meat. I'm lactose intolerant, so not so much dairy, but Vega is a vegetarian ship, which I haven't really experienced before. And I was a little skeptical to see like if my body would tell me that I need like more nutrients that I was getting from the meat, but I have felt way better than I have like ever. I don't know the science behind it, but I definitely am more health conscious, and I think it's because of the people that I'm surrounded by. There's crew members on board that really love a lot of vegetables, and it helps that things are so affordable. Like the same head of lettuce in Canada is like $5 Canadian, and you can get it for like 99 cents here. So that's a huge difference. It's way more affordable to eat healthier here, so that also helps.
A typical day for you is also to share moments with the crew, right? And work together. Do you listen to music? What is your spirit together? How do you work together? Or do you work more separately? Or how does it depend? How does it change? How is it, Barbara?
I just came back like 2 days ago. It feels like it's probably true. So there's no real rhythm yet. We're kind of building up again from small winter moods, two people on board. Now we're five, I think, and it's going to be more and more. So the dynamics are changing. But yeah, of course, we have breakfast together. We eat together always. We have coffee breaks together at times when you feel like this is necessary. Yeah, but sometimes you have a project that is more a thing that you just have to do. Sometimes people work together on the same thing. Everybody has their music a bit around. There's not like one radio station all blasting all over the ship. More little work groups.
Cool. Nitya, you just joined today to help out. How did it feel and what did you do?
It felt great, actually. It's the first time I'm working or helping on a wooden ship. It's also so nice already. The smells are very different from a steel ship. Checking the safety instruments and to do some woodwork as well, using linseed oil. And so all the products also are quite interesting, what we can use on a wooden ship, natural products. It was really fun to be outside in the sun. Sending.
Great. Just some words to have an inspiration.
Just follow a bit your instinct and gut feeling and what makes you happy or what inspires you. And also that you can just try things and you don't have to stick with one thing forever. Like for me, I had for 10 years some work that I completely changed now. And people sometimes don't think it's possible, maybe now more and more, but it's also something. Just try to think of what would make your heart jump in the morning when you wake up, like what environment you would like to be in and for what values maybe behind the projects. And that can make a big change in how fulfilling your life will feel.
Tori, something to add?
Just follow your dreams. You can't think about what other people want for you. You just gotta go out there and do it for yourself. Because at the end of the day, like, you have you, and that's the most important part. So, yeah.
Barbara, do you have a philosophy in life for yourself?
One phrase I often use, it's an old song by Björk, it's "There's more to life than this." It's so easy to get stuck in like one mindset and you think this is it, but then you're like, actually no, there's more. There's something else. But the same goes also when you're on the ship. You can get really caught up in ship life, and then also there's more to life than this. You can also have a life outside the ship. You can have different lives, and you can have the lives you want if you build your life around it.
Yeah, but doesn't life feel so much more simple on ships?
It does, yeah. But it depends how many months a year you do it. At some point, it's also good to do something completely different and then come back freshened.
Yeah.
Ready for it again.
Let's dream a little bit about the sea. What do you feel about it?
When I started sailing, I did a lot of ocean voyages, and I used to get really uncomfortable and nervous when we came close to shore. And later I had to learn to coastal sailing that it's okay to go ashore sometimes and leave this contained ship world, and there's actually benefits in going ashore. But I'm really looking forward to do an ocean voyage and just get into the rhythm and just be out at sea, and that's enough, and have a destination and a mission.
One thing that I have been taught from my friend is to always strive to be content and not happy, because happy is a feeling that comes and goes, but contentment is like a consistent feeling that you have all the time. So like, even though things really suck at the moment, you can still be content. And that is something that I definitely feel like when I imagine sailing on Vega and sailing across the Atlantic Ocean. My favorite time on ships is either when the sun is setting and you can watch it go like all the way down to the horizon, like touch the water, or at nighttime when like you see all the stars in the sky. It's like those two moments are like just such pure bliss and like contentment to me. It's just like you can just watch the sunset and just be like so yeah, those, I just imagine Vega, crossing the ocean with Vega, being like that.
Wonderful. Yeah, start dreaming, keep on dreaming. Is there something to add?
I was just thinking of one thing, because we talked quite a lot about finding what makes us feel good. And also I think, in a way, nowadays it's became a bit like a label of being selfish. And maybe everyone being in the right spot where they can do the best for themselves then would bring also the best for everyone and the planet. So it's another perspective to have in mind, into according a lot of importance of being as fulfilled for yourself as you can, and then it would be really helpful for everyone in the end.
Fair winds to all of you. Wishing you all the best from deep, deep heart, and great that you are supporting this project with your energy, with your work. So thank you so much from my side.
Fair winds, Vega!
Fair winds, Vega!
This means sustainability, carbon-free footprint for our Earth, for our products. Sailing, adventures, dreamers, sustainability, woodwork, spread out the good news, the good ideas, the knowledge we have on this world, how to change, how to live sustainable. The strength in peace, like a real human, with happiness and responsibility for all living creatures on our Earth.